Welcome to Temple of Health Radio Show. This is Dr. Susan Kolb, and today I'm pleased to have as my guest Star Wolf with her book Visionary Shamanism, Activating the Imaginal Cells of the Human Energy Field. This book includes a CD, musical journeys, and shamanic instruction on how to access these realms beyond the third dimension, which actually are very important right now as we enter into a new phase of energy waves coming onto the planet. Thanks so much for calling in, Star Wolf. Where are you today?
I'm actually in Kentucky picking up grandchildren.
Really? Well, we're not too far apart then.
Yes, I have been traveling all over. In the past few months, I've been on the road to California, New York, New Orleans, Florida, Denver. Just came back from Denver and all the fires out there.
And, oh, yeah, right.
July is my grandchild month. I figured that rest of the year I'm out there teaching and really trying to make a difference, and then it's important for me to make a difference with my own family.
That's true. We have, especially grandparents and grandchildren, have soul contracts to pass wisdom on that is very, very important. Many of my friends are very wise women who have grandchildren, and they tell me what a joy it is to do that.
So you're the author.
Right. So you're the author of Shamanic Breathwork, co-author of Shamanic Egyptian Astrology, Shamanic Mysteries of Egypt, and the Anubis Oracle. And I think we have interviewed before. I know I've interviewed Nikki Scully several times, so it may have been, involved in some of that work too. But anyway, I'm glad you're here, and if you would like to introduce some of the concepts in the book. I think the concepts are very interesting. It's something I've known for a while, that we can access future, especially when we're dealing with a current problem, that straightening up the past is important, but accessing the future for information and alternatives is very important.
Absolutely, Susan. And, you know, I think one of the people who's probably most famous for concepts around really what you might want to call time travel is, you know, Albert Einstein. And that when he made this statement that the imagination is more important than knowledge, you know, imagination is always from the future. And also when he made the statement that any problem basically that we're facing or situation can't be solved at the same level of consciousness from which it was created. Once again, he's inviting us to think into the future, the solution to the problem in the present. And so that's really about accessing the dimensions beyond the third level or 3D reality. And, you know, the scientists now are really lining up with the metaphysical world that's been speaking for years, the great yogis of the Eastern world and metaphysicians for decades, and, you know, really, if you look back to ancient Egypt and other places, thousands of years have spoken about, you know, that time can be collapsed. And so this is a very important subject, I think, especially with the world today, with all the, you know, all we have to do is just turn on the news or turn on the Internet, and it, you know, comes across the screen, you know, the somewhat at least it looks this way, overwhelming problems looming around us, not only in our own country, but all over the entire world. And that sometimes people can kind of want to just kind of go to sleep or numb out or go into an addiction, you know, stick their head in the sand, you know, just flip on the TV, do whatever they need to do to get away from all of that overwhelming energy, because it feels like that there's not, you know, what can I personally
any
do
way out,
kind of feeling. And
it's
so important that we don't do that.
Right. I like to remind people that when, you know, when the higher dimensions look down and see that we're going to have a problem, they also simultaneously put in motion the solution to that problem.
Right.
And I use my own life as an example of that. You know, back in the 60s, they were developing silicone breast implants, which weren't going to be a real good idea because of chemical and biotoxicity. But that problem wasn't going to occur for 10 to 20 years after, you know, in most patients, after those implants were put in. So I was spiritually guided, and I mean spiritually guided, in meditation to get Dow Corning implants. And then 8 years later, one side leaked. The other side didn't. So all the symptoms were on one side. Being a plastic surgeon, I also had all these patients that had the same symptoms. So it's that was my journey to determine what the disease was and what the treatment was. And, of course, the entire medical field and the even the FDA was saying that the disease didn't exist, but there were hundreds of thousands of women that were deathly ill from the disease. So it's almost like that, when the problem is going to rise up, the solution is also going to rise up. But all the women that find me through prayer, intuition, their own following of their own inner guidance, or inner guidance of somebody very close to them. And so I think the lesson is you can solve your problems, even if they look like they're totally insurmountable, even cancer, even end-stage cancer, and you have some examples in your book of that. If you follow your guidance and if it is your path, because not all, you know, sometimes we choose cancer to go out on our death date, so that probably isn't negotiable. But if it is your path, and I can guarantee it's almost everybody's lesson right now to learn to follow their guidance, that the answer does exist. It just might not exist on the evening news or in the popular mainstream media, you know. But the answer is there.
Well, you know, it's really interesting, you know, how it depends on the lens that we're looking through, how we interpret what's happening. And it's so important, I think, to look at it both from a very human perspective, you know, the world of the ego and the human and the physical body, you know, that will perish and through our emotional field and our past. But it's equally as important to look from the future and then to see how, you know, what the right actions are in the present. That's the whole point for me, is so that I will know what is the right action to take in this moment. There's some things that can guide me. My human self and my emotions and my feelings and my thoughts and my human body, you know, that's what warns me that there's something going on that I need to pay attention to. However, even though, it, you know, the emotions might be coming up and some really frightening thoughts or, you know, and my body might be going through some symptoms or through a disease that I've been diagnosed with or something, some disorder, it's not the part of me that should determine what's going to happen. It's just telling me, you know, it's the soft, warm animal of my being that's saying there's trouble here in the environment or in my life or with my family or in the world in some way. But the solution, as you put it, if you will, or the remedy or the homeopathic remedy really is, it to me, it always lives in the future. And it's the piece that's kind of out there saying, I'm here when you're ready to download me. It's like upgrading your system. You know, I think I've given this metaphor before that I'll flip on my computer and it'll say, upgrades now. You know, would you like to, you know, basically install now? And so often I'm busy, I'm not paying attention, and I'll hit, you know, remind me later.
Remind me later.
Remind me later. And I will do that sometimes for months.
Right, that's true.
Because I don't want to take the time. I'm my life's busy, I'm doing this, I'm doing that, and, you know, and then finally it's like getting very insistent, you know, like,
I better do this now.
Now, you know, and then finally the system's not running as well or whatever, and then I'll like, okay, you know, and then I'll install now, and it's like, you know, all these
before you crash
programs, and they're crash and it's frozen. I'm thinking like, well, this is a metaphor for my life, you know, about
that's when we get sick with the virus, right?
Exactly.
When we fail to heed the signs along the way.
Perfect. Instead of getting stuck with the virus, instead of getting frozen, crashed, or burned out, what about if along the way I upgrade with what's trying to come in and install the new programs, really? From you know, that benevolent force that's trying to get my attention and say it's time to upgrade, Star Wolf. You know, your old level of consciousness worked for where it was at, but you're being recalibrated, and it's time to upgrade. And so I think that's the message to humanity right now, that it's time to upgrade, that what we did worked at a certain level, but it has stopped working. And if we try to go back to the old programs, it's not going to work. So we do need to take some time, I believe, Susan, that we need to take some time to investigate through prayer, through meditation, through breath work, through various things, to see the programs that we've been using and, you know, what's good there. What do we take into the next level with us? And what really needs to be deleted? What needs to be let go of? And then make space, you know, because, you know, there's only so much energy that we can take in at a time into our human energy field. So we have to be able to delete old programs and make space, create space to bring in the future energies, if you will, and to be activated in the present with the healing. And then the next piece that I just wanted to say about this is that, yes, things are in, you know, dire straits all over the world, and it's important to acknowledge that and not be in denial about it and just say, oh, whatever will be. I think it's really important to say, no, things are really tough here. We need to take responsibility and do something. But I believe with my whole being that the reason for our dilemmas is not only because we've done something, quote, wrong, but it was always meant to be. There's always a deterioration when you end an era, you know, or an epoch. Mm-hmm. You know, there's always, you don't look at a tomato plant and say that it's screwed up because all of a sudden at the end of the season it's droopy and the tomatoes getting rotten. It's just that its season is over, and it's full of new seeds and new life that when they fall to the ground, we grow gardens. You know, the next year there's what's called volunteer plants everywhere from those seeds. So, you know, we're at a time when we're ready to drop the old and to let the new seeds of wisdom rise up, the future, if you will, and it's ready to happen right now. And I believe that all that we experience during this time, we're meant to experience so that we can truly strengthen ourselves and learn about this experience called being a spirit, having a human experience.
Yeah, and it is very, very important to meditate and do breath work. You know, we're meeting three times a week now, where we used to just meet one time a week, and many of us are doing breath work. The energy waves, when they come in, if you have a blockage, they can create symptoms in that area. You know, some people get short of breath. Some people start coughing and choking. Some people, you know, feel it in their solar plexus and uneasiness and nausea. And what we're told is that it's just energy waves of upgrade and like you say, activation. And if you will just take a minute to not go into fear that something's wrong with you, you know, and run to the doctor, which you probably ain't going to be able to find anything, and do the breathing and try to work on the blockages, try to work on forgiveness issues that are, you know, right in front of you, you know, you're dealing with that day, and realize that, you know, these are things that have been predicted for a while. When we were back in 1990, when we were in session, we asked what it would be like during the time that we're in now, and the answer was, well, you'll probably be a little dizzy and nauseated. You know? So now when I get a little dizzy and nauseated, I think back and go, well, that's what they said would happen. So I'll just sit here and I won't rush out. I'll just sit here and, you know, kind of get this under control before I, you know, rush out to, you know, to see the patients and do clinic. And but, you know, everybody's experiencing it. They just call it different things. You know, it's
that's
not
right.
Some people call it panic attack.
Really,
some people call it,
and,
you know, whatever.
You know, the famous Swiss psychoanalyst Carl Jung spoke about symptoms and symbols, and also, you know, Joseph Campbell spoke about that. And so symptoms really are symbols. They're symbolic.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, they're real in, you know, in our energy field and in our bodies. Of course, they're real. They're pointing to something. But so often we just take the symptoms and we just kind of run with it, and we look for an easy solution. We're, you know, it's not because we're bad, we're afraid, as you said. We get afraid, yeah. You know. I've got
Is there a pill
symptoms.
I can take that what this will it, go away, you know?
What does it mean, you know, and what could, right. yeah, what can you give me to make this symptom go away? But
right.
so if we can, you know, what I've learned to do, because I've been one of those people that you talked about who went to, you know, ran to the medical office and, you know, went to see a medical person, and about 90% of the time they scratch their head, you know,
right.
and they don't know what
you
to do.
You can't find anything wrong.
You can't find anything wrong, so but yet they feel, you know, they feel kind of codependent if they don't write
right.
you a prescription.
Here, take this pill.
And take this, you know, so you go home, and what I do is just throw the prescription away because I know
right.
that the medicine, because I have paradoxical effects 99% of the time, is going to make me
Not
sicker, and then I think, well, why did I even go in the first place, you know?
Yeah.
So one of the things I've really learned in my almost 60 years on the planet is that when symptoms come up, not to ignore them. That's, you know, that's, you don't want to ignore
mm-hmm.
symptoms. Because sometimes the medical world really can do something for you, you know.
Right.
So
right.
if there's a symptom that's coming up, you want to pay attention. But before I run to the medical doctor, I do check in to say, what's going on?
Mm-hmm.
What's going on with me right now? You know, where am I not at peace, or where am I
right.
feeling blocked or stuck? You can pay attention, you know, to the actual symptom as to where it's located in the body or the energy field. If it's in my throat, what am I not
mm-hmm.
saying? Or what have I said that I feel badly about, you know?
Yeah,
my
right.
head's hurting, you know? Where am I constricted? Where am I not letting myself move to the next level of expand and feeling stuck? Those kinds of things, you know.
Yeah.
If I'm nauseous, you know, what's making me sick in my life? What
mm-hmm.
is it that I'm just sick about?
Can't digest.
You know, feel just I want to just get it out of me in some way.
Mm-hmm.
So the symptoms sometimes are so powerful symbolically by going in and acknowledging that and doing some journey
mm-hmm.
work around that, you can really move the energy yourself and the symptoms completely go away. And I know
right.
that firsthand from my own personal experience. And for more
mm-hmm.
than, you know, 30 years now of doing breath work with people and seeing people with incredible symptomology
right.
and watching it dissipate, sometimes in one session, sometimes in a few sessions, while also attending to any medical care that they need to, but frequently having the same experience, saying, you know, my doctor couldn't find anything.
Yeah, and I'll often get...
They couldn't find anything. They gave me this prescription, and I'm trying to decide whether to take it or not.
Don't take it. yeah, there is one thing I can tell you and the listeners that I found in many patients undergoing these shifts is that magnesium is very important. And I've got, and our higher selves can get this information to us in weird ways. I had a male roommate who was quite psychic. In fact, he was in the top 100 psychics in the country book, you know.
Uh-huh.
And so he came down one day, and he said, I had a dream that I was supposed to ask you what I needed. And so I looked up, and I said, magnesium. He said, thank you. And so he went and started taking magnesium, and a lot of his symptoms went away.
I love it.
You know, here it is. They're not going to tell him magnesium, even though he can hear it very well. They're going to send him to me so I can explain to him why he needs magnesium. Because it's really true. Isn't that neat?
I love it. And, you know, I do think that there's something very sacred about, you know, where two or more are gathered. And,
right.
You know, Grandma Twyla Nitch of the Seneca Wolf Clan, and she, you know, she passed in 2007, but she was my adopted grandmother. And she used to say to me, Star Wolf, we really need our wolf pack. We need each other. You know, it's okay
mm-hmm.
to need each other. And, you know, and to be a community, and it's not really helpful to be a lone wolf, is what she would say.
Right.
And she'd
right.
say, you know, if Creator only wanted there to be one of us, you know, there would have been one of
There'd
us.
Be one
you
of
know,
us.
That's why we're a pack, and
right.
we, you know, we need each other. So I thought that was really an important information. I'm an only child, and you know, I've
mm-hmm.
In the past kind of felt alone at different times where I grew up and the area that I grew up. In a rural community and in the world, I tended to be a little bit more out there in the front, you know, with visions mm-hmm. and things and stuff that people thought was weird. And so over time, I just kind of, you know, pulled in. And after a period of time working with Grandma, that was back in the 90s, in the early 90s, and, you know, she really brought it home that we really are going to need each other in this time, that we're not meant to do it alone. So, you know, I've completely turned that around now. I'm remarried. I just celebrated my 10th anniversary with my beloved, and very into my grandchildren, all five grandchildren, and we moved from California to North Carolina, close to Cherokee, in between Cherokee and Asheville, and created a retreat and community center there called Isis Cove. And so we now have what I refer to as the unintentional, intentional community, because it wasn't really intentional when we first moved there to have all these other people move there, but we sold land to people. Everybody around us bought their own property, and we now have about 15 households there of healers and teachers from all over the country who live there and, you know, really service the people who come to the retreat center. So I've learned to be a part of the pack.
Right. And I think it's interesting how you did it. You know, I can't tell you how many people have had the vision of having an intentional community in the area you're in. It's just amazing how many people have accessed that part of the Akashic record, or whatever you want to call it, you know, the higher dimensional realms, that idea. And they made all these plans, but those plans never did anything. But what you did was
so
you
sad.
Just followed day-by-day guidance without the big picture, and boom, it came into, that's great.
Well,
that's
the big picture was, you know, it was kind of, the big picture was kind of like, build it and they will come. And actually, the big picture in the beginning was, you know, just instead of go west, it was go east, young woman, or older woman,
right.
Go east, you know. And so it was like, okay. And it's like, well, look for land and create a safe place where there's, you know, a water source and beauty and for gardens and things. And it was like, okay. And then it was like, invite your friends to come and visit. And they would come and say, can we buy property?
I want to come here,
You know, and people say, well, what, you know, what's your intention for your intentional community? And I said, well, we've never discussed it, really.
Right, yeah.
You know, but the truth is that in many ways we have, because all the people who live there are astrologers, tantra teachers, priestess teachers, you know, marriage and family counselors, massage therapist, acupuncturist, you know. So everybody that lives there in some way has been in a of service to the planet and is continuing to be of service to the planet there. And the main thing we've agreed to do is to live in peace there, as peaceful as possible, and to create a safe environment for ourselves, for our children, for our pets, for our grandchildren, and also for the people who come there to do retreats. And so that they can have an experience of nature and healing. And we have people who come sometimes and who've stayed for months. Because we have a retreat house there that people can stay in. And we have mostly we have people come for, you know, workshops and also for the trainings that we do. We have several authors that live there. So everybody has a body of work that they do, and so people can come and do that. But we have had people who their life was just really, I guess you could say, upgrading, and they needed a safe place to come to and be and to have services from people there. So it just really, to be honest with you, Susan, it just really evolved very organically into what it's supposed to be. And the only thing I can say is that we've been good listeners and we've paid attention to what wanted to happen rather than what you said. You know, people do have all these plans of how it was going to be.
Right.
We've allowed it to be organic and to morph. And it's the difference between having a baby and saying, and when that baby gets here, you know, it'll be this and that, and it'll be 10, 2, and 4. You know, we've said, let's let the baby get born and let it tell us who it is.
Right.
So
and that's very important.
Very organic.
It really
process.
Is. Yeah. And you've chosen a part of the country. I know one time I was guided to take, I think, about 6 people up to Asheville, and we just went up there we didn't know what we were going up there for, but it turned out that we were doing sessions up there where people could easily start, you know, their spiritual journey and learn spiritual hearing And so suddenly they develop spirits of sight and hearing within that area. And
yes.
So I've always thought that area was somehow, you know, well, we were guided to go up there to have this happen, but it happened so much quicker than it would have in Atlanta. So I think it's a good area for people to open up and to shift upwards in their spiritual education and, you know, what they're able to do.
Susan, you know, this area really, some people have called it, they've called Asheville the New Berkeley, but they've also called that whole area the New Sedona, if you will. And there's a reason for that. You may be aware of this. Sometimes people are very surprised to hear this. According to the geologist, and we've actually had geologists on our property who are, you know, really good at being able to date the rocks and the stones there.
Mm-hmm.
And one woman who came out from Portland and did that, we have on our property, we have different, you know, sacred areas where you can go and be and journey and that sort of thing. And one of the things we have is we have this beautiful medicine wheel that's 37 stones that was placed there by Wind Daughter and the Bear Tribe. And this each one of these stones weighs about 2,000 pounds. And there's 37 of them. So they're beautiful ancestor stones to go out and to do ceremony and to with the medicine wheel.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, this other woman came, Joan, who really, you know, was with the stones because she's a spiritual person, but she also knows how to date stones. And she told me they were over a billion and something, I can't remember exactly, close to 2 billion years old. And then there's been other geologists who have written about the area, and they have said that this whole area through the, you know, the Appalachian Mountains there and through the Smoky Mountains is the
mm-hmm.
oldest mountain range in the world. And when I first heard that, you know, my mind went to, well, I thought the Himalayas or some, you know, Andy, some place could be
right,
older.
Yeah.
But this is the oldest mountain range, and the reason the mountains, you know, are, you know, 6,000 feet and less is because they've been around so long. They've been worn down. And they,
mm-hmm.
you know, they're more feminine, they're rounded, they're soft, they're green, they're covered in lush plants. And this is what happens, I guess, with the mountains that have been around for so long, instead of like the Rockies that have actually been, they're newer and that are taller,
right.
And then they're, you know, kind of, they're beautiful, but they're jagged and they're rough and they don't have the greenery and the lushness to them
mm-hmm.
in that sense. Is that over time, those mountains, those older mountains, they're kind of like people, I guess. As they get older, they get softer
mm-hmm.
and kind of wear down and create a safe place. And then, of course, the Cherokee people who managed to escape, you know, the Trail of Tears and managed to stay in that area and the legends that they were able to maintain say that
mm-hmm.
the Cherokee people and other tribes came from the Pleiades. And they
right.
believe,
yeah.
you know, in the old tradition that the Pleiadian people planted those people in the mountains there. So there was a book written by Paige Bryant, who you may be aware of, that she wrote back in the 80s about the area because she was the first person who coined the phrase Sedona vortexes or vortices. And she
mm-hmm.
lived in Sedona, and she is a channel and a mystic and was guided to move to Waynesville, North Carolina. And when
mm-hmm.
she came there and studied the ley lines, and she's brilliant in that way, and the stars, and understanding how it all worked together, and then found out about the mountains being the oldest mountain range in the world, she wrote this beautiful channel book about the spiritual reawakening of the Great Smoky Mountains. And she predicted
mm-hmm.
in the 80s, that all these people would be coming from all over the world to create intentional communities. I had never read it until after we moved there, to create
really?
Intentional communities all through North Carolina because
right.
of all the things I just told you about, that the old elder mountains, the minerals there, they're made of
mm-hmm.
crystals and mica and many gemstones, that the elder mountains there hold the wisdom of the ages because they're the oldest beings on the planet. And that
mm-hmm.
people would come and be easily downloaded from the Pleiadian energy and from the mountains there and could then return back out into their areas with this downloads, or others would stay there to create space for people to come to. So we moved from San Francisco looking for a place. We looked at in Colorado and some other places, New Mexico, Santa Fe, and we were we drove through there, and we knew it was it 9 years ago, that this was the place to come to. So we've had thousands of people pass through our retreat center at Isis Cove that come and to come and do their healing, to come and be downloaded, activated for the future, if you will. And they just say they've never experienced the acceleration as much as there as any place as they have in this area.
Well, that's where I went to get activated. I've been there probably five times in the Great Smokies, particular place in the Great Smokies. And as you go into the mountains, everybody in the car experiences the same thing. There's something put over our crown chakra that we can all feel, which is really interesting. And then when we go and do the work, we get downloaded. And it was actually in that vortex that I was sleeping, and I woke up, and something turned in my left ear. I mean, it was literally like a screw turning in my ear, and then I developed spiritual hearing. It was, like, really weird.
I love
but that,
it.
You know. So that, and then we returned back, and I was given prophetic messages up there in session that then came true that were very important for my particular journey, which is a journey for, you know, justice, you know, through the legal system, which is sometimes a lot of fun. But, you know, I was told then what the journey would be, and then sure enough, it came to pass. Very specific details came to pass. So I have no doubt that, you know, I'm Palladian in ancestry as well, and I have no doubt that the Palladian downloads there were very, very significant to me being able to do what I came in to do.
Well, you know, that is so important to be able to listen and to believe and trust and follow that. You know, the first person that came to visit us, we had only been there a couple of weeks, and decided that she wanted to buy land before we even had any lots mapped out. She was walking up in the mountain there, and she was, you know, emergency room nurse from Wisconsin, and she came down, and she said, I just talked to a tree up there, and it told me that I'm supposed to move here, and I know where I'm supposed to live on top of the mountain. We're like, we don't even know how you would get up there. Well, she now has a home up there. But, you know, she listened to that. We had another woman who's a psychologist who came, and she was walking up past one of this little creek that runs through the property. That's where all of our water comes from, the spring back there. And she came back and she said, I just, for the first time in my life, saw a red-headed fairy. And she said, I'm, you know, I'm supposed to come here and do the training. And then she heard a voice tell her she was supposed to see that a building was built where we could do art and have a big deck where we could be doing yoga and things. And she manifested that vision on the property there. And so it's, you know, we've had people say they walked to the property, several people, and unbeknownst to each other, and encountered an old Indian chief spirit. And there were people that were there at different times that didn't know each other. So he's obviously at the back of the property.
Hanging out somewhere there.
Hanging out and has messages for people. And so it's just one thing after another. One woman, she lives, she's actually has a degree in engineering and in theology, and now she's trained with us as a breathwork facilitator, and her husband is a chiropractor in Minneapolis. But they put a cabin up on one of the lots, but she was told by, she said, the little people and the blue people that live up on top of the mountain there, that that's what they were supposed to do, is to put a cabin to come to when they needed to. They come, you know, several times out of the year. And there's a big observation deck up there that we built, actually my son built, that about 75 people can stand on, and almost a 360 of the mountain's view up there. And one of the people we have living there, my co-author, Ruby Falconer, who's an astrologer of 35 years, goes up there and does night sky teachings with people, and they just see amazing things up there. It's just...
Oh, I'm sure they do. There's a whole bunch to see in the night sky now.
Well, you should come and see us, Susan, and, you know, especially if you come back to do your downloads and stuff. We have a great retreat house that people can come and stay in and just use the property and in a good way. You know, when people come with their hearts open, the spirits of that land and the mountains there just welcome them, and all kinds of magical things happen for people and downloads for people.
Well, thank you. I'll definitely look into it. Twice I was guided to go to Delphi. I'm sure you've heard of Delphi in near Tennessee. And both times that I went, there was nobody there. Isn't that interesting?
Huh.
There's only two times a year that there's nobody there. But I was able to stay there and do the work I needed to do, but it was in total silence, fasting. You know, it was, and there was nobody on the property, which was amazing.
Very interesting.
Because, you know, it was... But I go when I'm guided, you know, it's like, and
so
sometimes
you listen,
it's,
and that's what I do too. And, you know, I've, with every book that I've worked with, you know, whether I've worked with a co-author or on my own, I've listened all the way through. And I reference some teachers and people and stuff that I admire or respect or that have been teachers of mine in the past or, you know, or put a, you know, index in for people and references and resources for other books and things, people I respect. But most of my work is from listening. It's from my own experience, my own healing experience, and from breath work. And, of course, the breath work experience, the shamanic breath work particularly, is one of the best ways for me to listen, because when I go into that state and use the breath, I just let go of any agenda that I have. And I might bring to that, you know, Grandma Twyla told me the two best prayers were help and thank you. So I might come into that experience with help or thank you, but and really around a particular issue. But then I just let go and just go into the breathing and do that experience. And, you know, I can say that after, you know, probably now probably close to 400 experiences in 30-something years in that way, I've had such powerful direct experiences, there was just no doubt in my mind or heart what I needed to do when I came out of that experience. And sometimes I didn't need to do anything. It had already happened within the experience. So, you know, this is a big part of my work right now. And Susan, I just wanted to mention that, you know, I have been traveling a lot. I just, as I said, I just got back from Denver, and before that I was in New York, and then before that out in Joshua Tree Retreat Center teaching in California, and before that, Illinois and Florida and New Orleans, and that's all just since May. And everywhere, people are turning on to this work. Like, you know, I've been doing this for a really long time, and the acceleration with which people are turning to this work and waking up from all walks of life, not just the people who've been, you know, awake for a long time or who have been, you know, following various paths of spirituality, but people that you just in the past would not think of as being aware of, you know, spirituality or metaphysical world or the shamanic world, just pop up and are just aware or turning on, are so available to receive the information right now. We really have entered into that era where people are popping out of the box and
it's very interesting to me, too, that, you know, it's a very human thing that people wait until the last minute before they study for the exam, right? I mean, that's very human. But, you know, I have about 38 employees here, okay? And they've been here, many have been here for a long time. And I'm just amazed at my employees who are now coming up to me going, Dr. Cobb, you've been into this for a while. What do you think of this book, or what do you think of this concept? And I'm sitting there going, you know, I can't believe you guys are just, you know, they're waking up. You know, they're buying the books, they're reading, they're doing the exercises, they're asking about our meditation group. They're, I mean, you're right. But it is the 11th hour.
It really is. It's like
so
the 11th hour.
That's why.
It's like 11:59. You
that's
know,
right.
And that's what the scientists say.
That's great,
as far as
though,
the
you know?
Ecology and the environment, that it's like, it's not even 11, it's like 11:59, you know,
right.
And seconds counting in that big global picture, if you will. And so it's really important, and you know, that everybody jump on board at this time. And I think, you know, I think it, they will. That's my hope and my prayer. And, of course, that's the reason that I've been doing this work, because, like you, you know, I mean, you're in the medical world, but I was involved in the world of psychology, mental mm-hmm. health, and addictions for many years. I started when I was 20, and, mm-hmm. You know, being involved in that world in the mental health system, and then later on professionally, you know, into the world of psychology and addictions. And so I really stayed pretty much focused in that year, that world for about 15 years, and then kind of one foot in, one foot out for the next five until I hit 40. Mm-hmm. But the last 20, almost 20, I've been fully in this world of where I don't have to downplay anything I'm doing and say, this is who mm-hmm. I am, this is what I do, and I'm listening, and I hope you will too. And not in a preachy sort of way, but just by putting it out there. And I can say that the first 10 was quite difficult. The last five has been much less difficult, and the last two or three, I've been astounded at mm-hmm. the rapidity of people waking up now and just so open and ready. And you know, I will say this: you know, there always has to be the pioneers, you know, the ones that come to the new land, if you will, or that go, whether it's into space or the new world or whatever, or a new idea. There's always those, and it's always a handful of people, you know, if you think about it, even though it might be, you know, a few hundred or a few thousand people, it's a handful mm-hmm. of people. But it's those people who really pave the way and pioneer, you know, kind of with a machete, you know, to go through the jungle. And then the other people, if you will, as they start to come, they come in huge droves. And they follow those original people, and they do. And that, you know, it's always been that way, going out west, and now you can look at how many people live on the West Coast.
Right.
You know, so
we just say we've been bleeding on the cutting edge for years.
Yes. So. But, you know, Susan, we wouldn't be satisfied doing it any other way either.
Oh, no, no. I'm not satisfied at being a follower. It's just, mm-hmm. it's too boring.
You know, we're kind of alpha wolf women, and
that's right.
We're going to follow, you know, we're going to listen directly and then mm-hmm. be motivated by that energy. And I really think, you know, for those of us who really get those downloads and have the heart and the drive, if you will, to create that in the world, that's really our destiny. That is our future self. That is who we are.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's a journey, and each part of the journey is important, and it's very important that you, when you have questions about which way to go or how to proceed, that you ask the questions. And I prefer to ask the questions in a group meditative session. Because mm-hmm. then it's the group energy that then accesses the Akashic records. Although I can do it individually as well, but mm-hmm. as you know, there's more, I guess, more clarity in the group, and a lot more clarity and information can be brought down. You might miss things if you do it individually. Not that we don't do it individually, we do, but then mm-hmm. when these big decisions come up, I think the group energy is good to access.
Well, I couldn't agree more. You know, I couldn't agree more. And I did, you know, it was years that I had private practice, and I did a lot of individual sessions with people of various kinds, mm-hmm. all the way from traditional counseling and kind of getting people to a point where they would be open to more, and then, you know, and then putting people into groups and working with people's groups and then introducing them. Back then, it was introducing people step by step by step to breath work until they, you know, mm-hmm. getting them to a point where they were ready. And I've always found the groups for myself, personally, for my own healing mm-hmm. and transformation, and downloads, as well as working with people. I have found them group energy so much more dynamic, alive, and potent mm-hmm. and powerful. And at Venus Rising Association for Transformation, which is our nonprofit entity, if you will, and also our university, Venus Rising University, that we have now for the past 2 years, people mostly work in groups. And so when people come to do classes or come to do training with us or even online, I'm getting ready to start five webinars starting this coming, not tomorrow, but Saturday after that, through what's called Evolver Intensive out of New York City, and through the Prophets Conference process. But anyway, I find working with groups very dynamic. And in the breath work that we do, most often people are, they have a partner and they do the breath work and they do it in a group and they do it with music. Mm-hmm. It's very potent and powerful. They do art afterwards. And then we come into a group where we share with one another and people share their personal experience. Sometimes it's very personal about their own healing of some kind mm-hmm. that needs to clear before they can really open up to other energies. And other times people mm-hmm. have profound visions for themselves, for the world, some solutions, some action they need to take or that the group might want to take. And truly there is a dynamic when there's that many people in the room doing that work that really shifts things. And 2 years ago, my organization decided to create once or twice a year an event called Breathe America, Breathe the World, mm-hmm. where we did a day of free breath work for as many people as we could take in to do that with.
Right.
And all the facilitators donated their time. And I'm happy to say that several breath work facilitators around the country now are offering once a year a Breathe America. And so there's quite several hundreds of people who've gotten to breathe maybe that would not have gotten to do that breathwork journey through the practitioners who've donated their time. And I think we're going to see more of that.
Yeah. Oh, that's, I think breathing, that's my advice to everybody. You know, just it, when these energies well up in you, when you feel the emotional, you know, things coming up that you're, a lot of people are unfamiliar with some of these. I mean, they've never felt this before. I mean, the answer right. really is breathe, you know.
It's, they get scared, you know. They can bring a panic, and and of course that creates more symptoms. But if they will just right. breathe and breathe into it and go through the experience, it will take you on a journey. And the journey will,
well, would you,
I believe, is
would
motivated by
this. Would you like to give your contact information as well?
Oh, sure. Sure. Our contact information is, our website is shamanicbreathwork.org. But you can also Google Venus Wright. If you forget shamanicbreathwork.org, you can do put in Google just shamanic breathwork, or you can do Venus Rising Association for Transformation or Venus Rising University, and it'll take you to our website. And we've been around long enough now. We have a whole variety of programs for people to come up and do a one day, or we have a training coming up in August for people who are accepted into the training. It's an accelerated training. People can come for 1 week or two, and it counts. The credits count towards ordination as a shamanic minister through our organization, or credits towards the shamanic breathwork certification that we offer. And we're getting ready to offer this training in New York. We did it in Sedona the last couple of years, just finished the training there. And we've got a training that's going to start in New York in November, I believe it is, excuse me, that will probably last for about a year. And we're doing it in North Carolina. And the other thing I want to mention is that we take people usually once a year to some sacred site that is where we feel there's a vortex of energy to do some really powerful work for themselves and the planet. Last year we went to Peru, and we're going back to Peru this year in December. So we'll be there from the 5th through the 14th, I believe it is, for anyone who's interested. And we'll be at Machu Picchu doing breath work on 12-12-12.
Right.
And those are two of the main things I'd want you to know about. And also people, if they want to get a sense of what shamanic breath work and visionary shamanism is about before they mm-hmm. invest more time, money, and energy, they can do the webinars with me. If you go onto mm-hmm. my website, as I mentioned, you can click on to, you want to click on to live webinars that start this Saturday, I think it's July 8th, excuse me, with Linda Starwolf. And you can come on and do the webinars. There's five of them, and they're for all five, because this other organization is sponsoring it. They're only $90. So it's a really wonderful way to learn about breath work, visionary shamanism. And if you can't come on Saturday, you can always, if you enroll, you can, they're recorded in their archives, so there's a code that you can go in and see it at a later time. So pretty excited about it. I've done a lot of things, but I haven't done webinars before. And
well, webinars are great because they allow people to come in that otherwise might not be able to take time off or, you know, afford to
travel. Got some people right now on India and Sweden and South Africa who have contacted me, who said, this is wonderful, thank you, we've never been able to get over to be with you. We had people from South Africa and Australia and Italy last year come to Isis Cove to do training, but a lot of them just haven't been able to, and they said, this is a great way for us to experience this, to learn more, and hopefully to, when we do come, we'll be able to be involved in a deep at a deeper level having experienced this, so...
And I just want to tell the listeners that Star Wolf there's a lot more information in her book, Visionary Shamanism, about this concept of going into the future, into the imaginal cells of the human energy field, to work on issues that may seem insurmountable in your present life. We actually have done a series of interviews with people who wrote books about past life healing, which, of course, you also mentioned in your book, but, you know, you can go back through hypnotic states into past life scenarios so that you can see the lessons that you're coming up against and not really learning. And that's very useful, but I've always, I mean, it was in 1990 that my spiritual teacher introduced me to the idea that you could go into the future to solve problems.
Yes.
And I've done that a lot. I think that is just really a great way to break out of this third dimensional, sometimes it seems like it's almost a prison that we're in. It's third dimensional.
Right.
It's so solid and so, it seems so set. And yet, if you realize, no, it isn't. I mean, you can access Akashic Record information. You can access the imaginal cells of the human energy field, which are not on the, you know, not crucified in time and space.
And, not at all.
And so energy can be brought in. And that's, I mean, energy can be brought in to solve problems that you can see no way around. Isn't that
right.
great?
It is, because the only
wonderful.
Part of us that can't see a way around it is just our ego minds. Our ego minds are locked, really, into the past dimensions. And that's its function. It's not doing anything wrong. That's its function. The ego mind's function is, I learn from the past. In other words, if I touch, put my hand on the burner, and I burn it, and my, you know, that's a past thing, and now, you know, I had the blister and I learned, then the ego mind holds that and it says, don't do that again. That's silly. Don't burn yourself.
Right.
However, just, you know, for instance, we've done firewalks, say, at Isis Cove.
Yeah, I have too. They're great.
And, you know, we've done firewalks. We had 2 years ago 110 people. We walked across the fire right on Hot Cove. And so we weren't living in the ego mind at that moment.
Right,
we weren't living in the past. If we tapped into that, said, oh, walking on fire means you're going to have burnt feet, everybody would have had burnt feet and third-degree burns. But we moved into a different energy that says we're going beyond that, and we walked on fire. So one of the things you learn for people who've never done this or people who have is they teach you to focus on being on the other side of those calls.
Mm-hmm.
You're already there. You already see yourself on the other side with nice, cool feet.
Yeah.
You know,
It was one of the easiest things that I did during that workshop.
Yeah.
He did much more difficult things, but the firewalk was at the end, and by the time we got to there, we all looked at each other and goes, this is simple.
Right, this is easy.
It was hilarious.
This is not a big deal.
You know, because there are much harder things that they take you through when
that's
you do
right.
Those,
you know, we had the arrow to the throat. Did you do that?
Oh, that was hard for me. That was hard.
Yeah, you put
that
the arrow right
hard.
In the center of your throat and break the arrow.
As a surgeon,
with your throat. And I was like, I did that one once, and it worked just fine, but I thought, I'm not sure I want to do that one again.
Right. Well, it just shows you that what you think in normal, logical, you know, what you've always been taught doesn't have to be, you know. It's
no. Certain. It's pretty amazing.
Well, this has been...
Yeah. The imaginal, well, I just want to finish by saying the imaginal cells are a really important concept and paradigm mm-hmm. for us to wrap our minds around, because if we understand that just like the caterpillar has been crawling around in the bush and thinking that's all of its life, and mm-hmm. then all of a sudden it starts having symptoms and starts right. turning into caterpillar mush and wraps itself up in a little, you know, safe place, its little cocoon, its little chrysalis, which we need to do mm-hmm. is to go to our safe place in the mountains or wherever it right. needs to be, and to allow ourselves to dissolve that old ego mm-hmm. construct. When that happens, the imaginal cells are activated, and we step into our future, and then we become like the caterpillar. We become the butterfly, and that butterfly can fly,
right,
and
right.
we can too. And that's really important to know.
Well, thank you so much for joining us. We're at the end of our hour, but we've been interviewing Star Wolf, her latest book, Visionary Shamanism. She not only has this work, which is great with a musical CD attached, but she has a whole body of work, webinars, retreat centers in North Carolina, and all sorts of things you can take advantage of to really partake in this, because this just makes this shift a lot more easier and fun. So thank you very much, Star Wolf. I appreciate you taking the time.
Thank you. It's been delightful, and I hope to see you up at Isis Cove soon, Susan.
Thank you. Thank you. Well, next week we have Dr. Prasad, Fighting Cancer with Vitamins and Antioxidants, on the 7th. On the 14th, Lisa Beretta, The Book of Transformation, Open Yourself to Psychic Evolution, Rebirth of the World, and Empowering Shift, Pioneered by the Indigos. On the 21st, Alina Lieberman, The Principles of Dynamic Manifestation, as received through the Akashic Records. And on the 28th, Andy Tomlinson, Healing the Eternal Soul, Insights from Past Life and Spiritual Regression. Noetic Science will be on the 19th of July. Liz Magnum, our Reiki and reflexologist, will be presenting Healing Your Energetic Self, that by Reflexology and Reiki. That's at 7:30 in the Dunwoody office. Thanks a lot, and join us next week.